This is strange, isn't it? And I'm strange that it's strange, if you know what I mean. I just think what better way to start our new restart, if you like, our new beginning, than by looking at the beginning and the creation story. So many years ago, Emma, my wife, and I were chatting to some friends of ours. In fact, we lived in the same house as they did. They had several kids. And one of the kids one day came up to their mum and said, Mum, did God create everything? And being a very diligent churchgoer, she said, yes, God created everything. So God created that tree over there. Yes. God created the grass over there. Yes. What about the hole in the kitchen wall? So then our friend Marie had to say, actually, do you know what? Your dad created the hole in the kitchen wall. And it's a tricky question, isn't it? Did God create everything? This pulpit, it's wood, so presumably, did God make this? Well, actually, a carpenter or a factory probably made this. How about the tree that it came from? Well, again, the tree came from a seed that came from the previous tree and the previous tree, etc., etc. So yes, indeed, God started everything off. But the amazing miracle, actually, which is probably even more miraculous than God starting everything off, is what God started, the living creatures, he actually gave them the ability to create. So trees can then create and make more trees. Humans, we create things with our lives. Now then, there's a question of what we create. Many kids, including my own, seem to create more chaos than anything else. But actually, we are created with the ability to create goodness. And this morning, I just want to cover two foundational truths, quite simple truths, but they're actually the truths that will continue to change our lives if we really believe them. So the first foundational truth, those of you who know that passage will know this very well, but there's several phrases, aren't there, that are repeated over and over again in that passage. There's one that's repeated seven times, which I'm sure is not a coincidence. It's one of the writers of the Old Testament often use repeated phrases, and particularly seven times, to really try and get a message over to the readers, to us as listeners. And that phrase is, and God saw that it was good. In fact, it's only six times that it says that. The last time it says, and God saw that it was very good. So why the difference on the last time? Well, right at the end, it says, God saw all that he has made and saw that it was very good. And I imagine him a bit like a painter, an artist. Can't paint for toffee myself, but artists seem to like come up really close to paint, and then I'm not going to trip over anything. Then they step back and kind of have a look at what they've done. And I can imagine God, making the light and the stars, and then taking a step back and seeing all that he'd made and said, that is very good. But the other difference between the six goods and the very good are human beings, you and I. Once he'd added the human beings, he took a step back and said, that is very good. He looks at us, he looks at you, he looks at myself, and he says, that is very good. That's the first foundational truth. Now, yes, many of us have been messed up. I know from my family the damage that being messed up very young can cause. We know that we mess it up as well. But actually, fundamentally, foundationally, God looks at you and says, you are very good. And actually, once we believe that, once we continue to live with that, then that's a real driving force for our lives and what we do with our lives. And I think once we know that and continue on this journey of really believing it, then we can indeed go out and create goodness rather than chaos ourselves. So that's the first foundational truth. You and I are very good. The other one I've mentioned already, and I don't think it's a coincidence that I was asked to speak on Genesis 1. But the other six goods follow creation. So God created light and saw that it was very good. He created the land and seas, saw that it was good. He created trees and vegetation, saw that it was good. The stars, the birds and the fish, the living creatures. God created this world and saw that it was good. So what's happening to this world that God created? Well, he created the light, sunshine. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a bit of sunshine as much as anyone else. Quite like a bit of a suntan. But actually, every decade, the temperatures, average temperatures of the world are getting higher and higher, higher than they ever have before. And that's causing untold damage on, for example, the land and the seas, the second good. The ice caps are indeed melting. Read a fact the other week that Greenland has lost 100 million tons of ice every minute in the last 10 years. That's what human consumption, burning our fossil fuels, is causing. The trees and vegetation were the third good, and yet 40% of the world's forests have been destroyed by humans. Fourth good was the stars, and again, it's fantastic, isn't it, when you're out in the countryside lying down and just seeing the beautiful stars. Difficult to see, isn't it, in cities and towns, partly because of the light, but also partly because of the smog. Now, it's not just us smoggies who have to deal with this. This is worldwide. And again, the damage that the smog is causing on human health is well known. What about the birds and the fish? Again, another sad fact. Apparently that 1 in 3 of UK caught fish have plastic found in them. It's a really sad video that David Attenborough has made of an albatross. Huge birds, huge wingspan, beautiful things, flying miles to come and feed its young in a nest, and then tries to feed its young on bits of plastic that it's found in the seas. And then lastly, the living creatures were the sixth good. And yet a million species are at risk of extinction because of climate change. Now, having said all of that, I remember probably around the time of the election, funnily enough, someone here said to me, said, what motivated you, Hugh, about green issues? Why is it so important for you? And actually, I like birds and fish, and I quite like the world, but actually it's people that have always motivated me. And for me, the poor in the world, and it's again the poor in the world who are going to suffer the most. Tear Fund have estimated that about 100 million more people will be in starvation by the end of this decade because of climate change. And we can sometimes, we even laugh about the fact that by the end of this century, apparently, central Middlesbrough will be underwater if we don't do anything about it. And we'll all have to go and join Becky and Sam in Colby Newham because it's up on the hill. It's quite a laugh for us. But actually, there were already some Pacific Islanders who have had to leave their ancestral homes because the islands are underwater. And again, it's always the poor who will suffer the most. And sometimes we can look at poverty, can't we? Say, well, what can I do? Sat in Middlesbrough, what can I do? Well, here's a response for you. If you care for the planet, you'll be caring for the poor in the world. Let me quote a couple of other people who agree with what I'm saying. The first is the Pope, Pope Francis. We have sinned against the earth. God always forgives. We humans sometimes forgive. The earth never forgives. And Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, has said, reducing the causes of climate change is essential to the life of faith. It is a way to love our neighbour and to steward the gift of creation. So how can we do that? Well, ideally, in other circumstances, I'd love to come down there and ask you guys what you're doing. I'm sure many of you are doing many things already and have been doing probably for longer than I to care for the planet. But here's just a load of ideas for you, and then you can just pick or choose a couple of them if you want to take them up. There are things we should be doing less of. So we should be flying less, or if at all, driving less, eating less meat, buying less new stuff, especially plastics and non-renewable plastics. But there are things that we should be doing more of as well to care for the planet, walking more. I would say that, wouldn't I, with my profession? Cycling more, eating more plant-based stuff, recycling more, planting more trees. Now, you may be thinking, can't plant many trees in my flat, Hugh. But there is one thing you might be able to think about doing. Some of these things, like driving to work, are things we just can't avoid doing. But actually, if you look up on the internet, if you look up carbon offsetting, so offset Earth is one of them, there are ways that you can offset for some of the damage that you are doing that you can't help doing for a small amount of money each month. You can offset that by planting as many trees as the damage you're doing to balance out what you're doing. Another easy one related to the internet is to use Ecosia, E-C-O-S-I-A, instead of Google as your search engine. Every time you use that website, a tree is planted. And just one more plug. Many of you will remember Abby, my eldest daughter, who's now in York, and she and her husband have set up a blog called Just-Green-Living, Just Green Living, with just some friendly and fun little ideas of things that you can do to help care for the planet. So two foundational truths for our new beginning. One is that you are very good, and secondly, that this world creation is good. We finish with a prayer from Jim Antal, who's a Christian climate justice leader. As brokenhearted as God must be over what we've done to the gift of creation, God still has a dream. God dreams that humans seek spiritual rather than material progress. God's dream envisions a just world at peace because gratitude has dissolved anxiety and generosity has eclipsed greed. God dreams of a time when love and mutual respect will bind humanity together and the profound beauty of creation will be treasured. Let us embrace God's dream as our own. Suddenly the horizon of our hope comes nearer. And as we live into God's dream, we will rediscover who we truly are, and all of creation will be singing.